We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, this football season is rolling right along. Actually, it's not, but we're doing a preview of this coming year. And up next is the Northwestern Wildcats and the Fighting Pat Fitzgeralds. And to give us a breakdown of that, I'm going to get a chance to talk to their play-by-play voice, Dave Ennett. Stay tuned for all that great information here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
And who knows who they end up taking. Most people think it's going to be Cade McNamara, which would be great. That would be awesome.
All right,
two sports star.
On basketball for 10 seconds. Clearly we made a massive mistake.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends, and we're going to be joined in just a little bit by Dave Ennett, who is the play-by-play voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. But if you missed anything on the podcast feed this week, MGO Blue Podcast, we had Wednesday Defend the Block that is hosted by my partner here, Brian Bush. It is the soon-to-be sophomore guard, Zeb Jackson, as well as the new men's basketball athletic trainer, Chris Williams. Make sure you go back, take a listen. It's a great listen. And I also want to tell you that soon you're going to be able to listen to this podcast in a different way because the Michigan Athletics mobile app is coming this summer. The Michigan Athletics app will provide the easiest and most convenient way for fans to access their mobile tickets. The app will also feature quick access to event schedules, customizable push notifications, live and archive video and audio, and of course, this right here, MGO Blue Podcast. The free app will be available for download on the App Store or Google Play. So get ready to have Michigan Athletics at your fingertips with the new Michigan Athletics mobile app coming soon. Mr. Bush, how are you today?
I'm great, John. Speaking of basketball, some big local news. The Pistons.
What's that? What happened?
The Pistons winning the draft lottery. Man. Good for Detroit. Good for Pistons fans. I mean, it had been a while. And, you know, I think a lot of people were right in saying they were tanking the right way. There was a lot of good young talent. Get ready for a lot more Pistons basketball on national TV with this.
Yes, you know, and who knows who they end up taking. Most people think it's going to be Cade McNamara, which would be great. That would be awesome.
All right,
two sports star.
On basketball for 10 seconds, clearly we made a massive mistake. But that is so perfect, John.
Yes, it won't be the last time I make that mistake. Cade Cunningham is the basketball player. Cade McNamara, while he may be or thinks that he's a two-sports star, he's focused solely on being quarterback at Michigan. So there's a lot of great things to be excited about. And, you know, I was going through this just the other day. you know, with the Detroit Lions. You've got Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and Penei Sewell was the pick, and it felt like that really fell into their lap. This with the Pistons and Troy Weaver, what he's building there with a lot of young talent. You mentioned, you know, taking in the right way. All of those young players got a lot of time. They were exciting to watch, even though they were playing losing basketball. But now you win the lottery and you get a chance at that number one overall pick. The Red Wings with Steve Yzerman, still a lot of work to be done, but there's a lot of hope there. And then obviously with the Tigers, you got a really good young pitching staff, and you're starting to see Spencer Torkelson, you know, working his way through the minors, some other guys as well. So it really feels like maybe Detroit sports, Michigan sports has all turned in the corner.
It's good to see. It was really exciting. And also for Michigan fans, trying to see maybe where Franz Wagner could go in that 8-12 range was also interesting to see. So that's the end of the basketball talk. Again, that was Cade McNamara, Cade Cunningham. That was so perfect and wonderful. But let's get into our 7 from 77. And John, just kind of an overview. You know, it's been a few weeks since we've talked about the upcoming season. This is a lighter time in the schedule. It's a bit quieter. So what is going on for players and coaches around this time? And when you were playing college or pros, what were you focused on, locked in on here as we now have about a month until training camp, until fall camp?
Well, you're really locked in on watching film, which you've been able to do from last year. Any reps that you have on film, it could be a game reps, and it could be from 2 years ago. It could be spring football, anything that you have on film that you can dissect and say, you know what, I did this well. I want to make sure I enhance this. I didn't do this as well, and I need to correct this footwork. I need to correct this hand placement, head placement, all of those different things. And then obviously diving into the playbook. There's a new playbook on defense, a lot to learn there, making sure that you're talking to your teammates and having those conversations of what are you looking for on this call? What are we doing here? What type of personnel group does this defense match up against? And offensively, it's always going to be the same thing. It's about communication. Those five guys up front got to be on the same page. Quarterback has to understand, tight ends, running backs, receivers. Everybody has to be on the same page. So it's making sure that you take all the appropriate time because it's available right now and work through all those things so that when fall camp starts, you can hit the ground running and your sole focus is going to be on Western Michigan. And then it'll be followed by obviously Washington and, you know, NIU all the way through the schedule. And obviously today we're talking about Northwestern, but this brings us to about halfway point of this football schedule.
Number two on our 7 from 77, college football does tend to still find its way into the news cycle this time of year, even though it is a quiet time. And there was some big news coming out early this week, the Supreme Court ruling that the NCAA violated federal antitrust laws by preventing athletes from receiving education-related items and opportunities from their universities, you know, postgraduate scholarships, computers, paid internships, et cetera. And it was a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court, which, let's face it, that's not super common. Just your reaction overall to that news that came out earlier this week.
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it's a great, will be a great benefit to the student athlete moving forward. Just because they can offer those doesn't mean that they will. You know, we are coming out of a pandemic. Most athletic departments are running a huge deficit. But on the flip side, you have these student athletes that continue to, you know, go out there and provide us as fans with entertainment. They provide, you know, advertising dollars for the NCAA, for the institution. And so I think there's going to be a happy medium of, okay, we can offer these things. Here's what we can do right now, and here's how we're going to move forward. Any opportunity that you have to give the student athlete an advantage on the student side of things, whether it is those paid internships or it's computers or whatever it might be, I know that Michigan will do all that they possibly can to make that a possibility. And I just, this is the step in the right direction for with NIL, which I know coming next week is going to go live in about 6 or 7 states. So it'll be interesting to see how this all rolls out in conjunction with NIL.
Number three, you know how this goes, John. We see something happen and you take it to the furthest possible degree when we discuss, when we talk about this. A lot of people looked at the Supreme Court decision and ruling as, okay, this is the start of pay the players, pay the players. Do you see that connection? And again, like, Supreme Court decisions do help set trends and tendencies. They also can be, you know, there's more appeals. There's more things that can be layered off. This is not a be-all, end-all. Lawyers find ways to talk about things as much as possible. So I'm curious what you think, if anything, this could do to that conversation of, oh, well, why aren't the players paid?
So I do think that you can connect those dots, and that will eventually happen. The issue is, what is the value of a scholarship? What is the value of room and board? You know, and you take a look and you say, okay, well, the comparison is, you know, a regular student on campus. They've probably going to have a full-time or part-time job while they're a student. Well, as a student athlete, your job is being an athlete. So you have an opportunity to pay for your education by performing on the field, on the practice field. But let's be honest, you know, the dollars that come in for being a student athlete, it doesn't feel like it's an equitable trade. What I'm doing on the field and what the NCAA is receiving in return doesn't feel like it's equitable and that the student athlete is somehow left out. There's going to have to be a happy medium in regards to what can universities afford, what can the NCAA afford. And it's not just football and basketball. There are other sports that are on campus, and we try and highlight those as much as possible. And you have to take into account all of those student athletes as well.
Switching gears on our 7 from 77, number 4, since we last did a 7 from 77, plenty of news surrounding the college football playoff and its potential expansion to 12 teams. It seems like maybe as early as September, this could be pretty much locked in, not for the upcoming season. They've been very clear that they feel that it cannot be implemented at earliest until 2023, potentially not until 2026. But 6 highest-ranked conference champions, 6 at-large teams, top 4 conference champions get a bye. Your thoughts on what has been proposed and what's been discussed since? The fact that Notre Dame can't get a bye, the fact that the Pac-12 wants the Power 5 to get an automatic bid to kind of get rid of that 6 highest rank. There's been some other discussions, but what stood out to you?
Well, I think this is kind of the happy medium between, you don't want to give away automatic bids, but you also want to have a more inclusive college football playoff. And by inclusive, I mean, not everybody needs a seat at the table, but you want to make sure that you don't exclude an entire portion of the country. The Pac-12 has been left out of the college football playoffs now for 3 years. And when you do that, it affects recruiting. It affects all the advertising dollars. It affects so much. And you'd want to make sure that there is a level playing field, or at least as level as you could possibly create it, without throwing off the competitive advantage that some schools have earned, right? And so that's where you lose the automatic bids, but you have the 6 highest rated teams. You've got some at large bids. I do think that all Power 5 conferences will have a seat at that table. It would be highly unlikely that one school from every conference wouldn't eventually get in or wouldn't be on a yearly basis, but I like it that it's more merit-based.
And I think the point of divisions possibly dying in all of this is pretty fair and pretty noteworthy, because if you have a 10-team Big 12, a 14-team Big 10, a 14-team SEC, if you put top 2 in your championship game as opposed to a division versus a division winner, the odds of that team that wins that game falling behind multiple group of 5, it have to be a special couple of group of 5s, and then they might get at larges anyways. So I think that's the Power 5 league's response, is we'll just get rid of divisions, and that should solve it.
It should. But again, you know, this is a process. We've gone from, you know, voting on national champions, which I'm very aware of, to the BCS, to now we're at a position where we've had 4-team playoff for a while. we're going to continue to, I don't think there's any question we're going to expand at some point, and you're going to have to tweak things as we go. And that's part of trying to find the true national champion, trying to find the best system possible, and all of the unintended consequences. Some of them will be negative, but I think there's a lot of positives that go with it as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more positives than negatives. Number five on our 7 from 77, I think one of the key discussion points that has come from this that we haven't discussed, what do you do with the quarterfinal games and how do you incorporate the bowls? You love the pageantry of college football. You love the home sites and what they mean. I know you also care deeply about the bowl structure, especially the big ones like the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. So when it comes to bowl game involvement, many have asked, okay, why do the 5 through 8 seeds in this model get a home game, but the 1 through 4 don't? Do you like how it is set up at this point, where the pitch is to have bowl games be the quarters and the semis, or would you like to see just bowl game involvement in the semis and have those 1 through 4 seeds get a chance to host?
No, I think having the 5 through 8 host, you know, hey, if the 1 through 4, they want to take on the risk of losing a game early in the playoffs, then so be it. And obviously the business side of things, when you host that extra game, that's a huge boom for, you know, for the athletic departments that get to host those games. On the flip side, because you're 1 and 4, a lot of people are talking about you. A lot of people want to be associated with you. You're still going to make some good money in that as well. So would you rather have the risk involved of playing in some of those early games or get those buys, not have to host those games and keep the bowl games involved? I like the fact that you would involve more bowl games. You would involve more players playing in those bowl games. You're going to have less opt-outs of the best teams in college football in any given year. And it gives fans in different parts of the country the opportunity. There's more, if we were just to take Michigan, there's more alumni around the country that can't always travel back to the Midwest or to Ann Arbor to see a game. But if there's a game in Texas or if there's a game in California, they can go see that. And you know what? I think it's a good compromise in regards to, hey, giving these teams a reward for being ranked at the top, but also those 5 through 8, the reward of, hey, you still made the playoffs. You get this paycheck for hosting a game and you get to host a game. You get to play at home.
Regardless, I just, the fact that there will be in this model some playoff games in some of these cathedrals of college football, I'd love to have them all there. I'd love to have a national championship game in some of these places just because I think it'd be fun. That's not practical. It's not going to happen. I'm not naive, but I think it's going to be really, really special, especially some of those SEC teams coming up north to the Big House, to Camp Randall in the wintertime would be pretty darn special. All right, number 6 on our 7 from 77. You alluded to defend the block, and Michigan men's basketball has hired a new athletic trainer. His name is Chris Williams. Really cool conversation. He's had a unique journey, but something that's unique and that certainly is not the normal path to Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's a graduate of Ohio State. In fact, he talked about his experience watching Michigan and Ohio State football games growing up. And John Jansen, I know you will love this clip.
Growing up, you know, we were football fans. You know, we watched basketball, but we were a football family for sure. And, you know, Michigan growing up used to beat our tails every single year in the 90s. And I remember, like, the name Biaka Batuka was like a curse word in the Williams household. Like, you couldn't say Biaka Batuka or else you get grounded, you know, for about a week.
It's not Jansen is a curse word, unfortunately, but the running back being the curse word, I mean, he knew how to pronounce it, so I think he said it a few times as a kid.
Yes, now can he put it all together? Tamunga Biaka Batuka. That's what I need to hear from Mr. Williams. But, hey, this has happened before. Obviously, we've had coaches on the football side of things come from Ohio. We've got coaches, Carol Hutchins is a Spartan. So we've got them all around, but they've all decided at some point to make the right decision to upgrade and come to Ann Arbor and be a part of the Michigan Wolverine family.
I upgraded.
Yeah. And we're happy to have you.
That was one of the coolest things was when I met Dan Dierdorf. He said, oh, you're from Ohio. Yeah, There's something special about an Ohio-born Wolverine, and that meant a lot to me. That tugged at the heartstrings. So, all right, number seven, John. We're on the back half of the 2021 preview. The bye was this past week. We pushed right through it. We don't do bye weeks on In the Trenches, unless, you know, John's on vacation or something. But Michigan will host Northwestern October 23rd. We're about to talk to Dave Ennett, the Wildcats play-by-play voice, really in-depth conversation. John, you've talked about your respect for this program. The respect for this Northwestern team nationally has continued to grow. Two of the last 3 years playing the Big Ten championship game. I'm curious, do you think Northwestern has reached its potential, or can they keep climbing despite, you know, having not as much tradition as most teams, even in the West, let alone the Big Ten as a whole?
They certainly can keep climbing. I mean, you look, and I'll get a chance to hear and talk to Dave Ennett about it, but when I was playing, and you look back 30 years, you look back 40 years, Northwestern was the game that everybody scheduled for homecoming. And then that 95 season happened where they ended up going to the Rose Bowl. That was the outlier at that time. Now you look back at the 2019 season where they were 3-9. That is the outlier right now. That's what Northwestern has been able to do over the last 30 years. And a large part of that has been Pat Fitzgerald as a player, now as a coach. And you look at his leadership and what he's been able to do. You also look, and last year Northwestern had two players drafted in the first round. You look at their recruiting, and they're starting, they're not going from, you know, all the time having two and three star guys that they have to develop. Now you're starting to see some four star guys get in that recruiting cycle for Northwestern. So success breeds success. And if they keep having it and Pat Fitzgerald keeps leading the way he has, they're going to be a force to contending with on a yearly basis.
They had two first round picks in the NFL draft. I mean, they've gotten talent too. This isn't just a bunch of two and three stars highly overachieving. They get guys as well. Our bacon fact today, before we get to Dave Ennett, we'll do a little Chicago based one. There is a bacon fest in Chicago every year, except for last year because of the pandemic. And they have a manifesto. And at the very end, how they close the manifesto, it says, quote, "We are committed to creating shared bacon experiences that strengthen the bonds of the human community across religion, across race, across gender, across class. That is the promise of bacon. That is the aim of Bacon Fest." I mentioned earlier that Supreme Court case was 9-0. There aren't many things in this world that are 9-0 anymore. Maybe Bacon Fest can truly be what strengthens the bonds and brings more 9-0 in all of us.
That would be nice. So basically what I'm hearing is bacon equals world peace. And if that's the outcome, I believe in the power of bacon. I believe in the spirituality of bacon. I believe in bacon just, you know, making everybody smile and feeling good. And that's what food is for. I know there's a lot of people that don't eat meat, and that's okay. As long as you enjoy what you're doing, and we can sit down and have a great meal. You can have your kale salad, Mr. Karsh. I can have my bacon salad, and we can come together as one.
Doug's not even here to defend himself. Come on, man.
Nor does he need to be. But I tell you what, who is here to defend themselves and their program, and they really need no defense, is Dave Ennett. He's been doing it a long time. I would I'm really excited to get a chance to talk to him. I'm excited for you to get a chance to listen to him, because on October 23, 2021, the Wildcats are coming to Ann Arbor. Dave Ennett is going to be a part of that party, and I got a chance to sit down and talk to him a little bit about this year's iteration of the Northwestern Wildcats.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
your words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Northwestern is going to be coming to town in late October to tell us a little bit about the Northwestern Wildcats. I've got Dave Ennett, who has been calling the Northwestern games for a few years. Dave, thanks for joining us. And how many years is this for you now, calling Wildcat football?
John, I think this is 32 coming out. So I've kind of seen it all during that time.
So let's go. This is not a memory I love to relive, but it does bring us to, you know, to today's football, and obviously everything at Northwestern over, you know, not quite 32 years, but probably 25 or 26 has revolved around the name Pat Fitzgerald. You were calling games before Pat got on campus. You called the Rose Bowl season that they had in 95, and you've seen his development from, you know, assistant coach, now head coach in the program. What, I don't know if you can put it in simple terms, but what has Pat Fitzgerald meant to Northwestern and Northwestern football?
Well, he's meant the world. And, you know, what's interesting to me, people, when they learn of my association with Northwestern, it's almost the first name that comes to mind. Pat Fitzgerald, yeah. What's interesting about that is that you look at Northwestern, a school which has produced all these Hollywood stars, actors and actresses, right? Mm-hmm. And yet the person who I think is really the face of the university is Pat Fitzgerald. And again, this is a university, John, as you know, that at one time, football wasn't exactly on the front page for them. So it's a really pretty dramatic shift. And I think that what Pat has meant, first of all, he had such a great career as a player. But the fact he was a local guy, mm-hmm, from Chicago, from the South Side, who chose to come to Northwestern, play for Gary Barnett, ends up a two-time National Defensive Player of the Year. And then embarks on a coaching career, which brings him back to Northwestern as an assistant coach. And then the school, after the sudden and tragic passing of Randy Walker in 2006, the school decides they're going to go with a guy who's not been a head coach, not been a coordinator, and put him in the head coaching job at the young age of 31. And here we are now, 15 years later, and I think it's safe to say that he's established himself as one of the best head coaches in college football.
I think you're very safe in making that statement. And, you know, what is it about him as an individual, or maybe more directly, him as a leader? Because you mentioned no coordinator experience, no head coaching experience. Now he's the head coach of a Big Ten university, and it wasn't like it was back in the 80s, even when he took over, because as a player, he changed Northwestern football, and Northwestern football was no longer, you know, the one that you scheduled for homecoming. They were a respectable football team. What was it about him and his leadership that has really taken over Evanston?
Well, he would be the first to tell you that both his coach, Gary Barnett, and Gary's successor, Randy Walker, laid the groundwork for Fitz. But it was still not on totally solid ground after Randy's passing and when Fitz took over. I mean, there's some bumps along the way. But I think that the thing that stands out to me is, first of all, leadership. You're exactly right. Continuity in his coaching staff, I think, has been a great help to him, and especially having a veteran defensive coordinator like Mike Hankowitz, who just retired after last season, after 51 years as a college coach, a Michigan guy there. You know, I think that had a lot to do with it. But I also think he had to tread kind of carefully in the early years as a young coach. And I think he eventually he's got a philosophy. He sticks to it. He's organized. He's got a plan and he sticks to that. And, you know, sometimes I think he's probably had some growing pains along the way, but I think that as he's developed, he's done a great job figuring it all out, establishing a program with a solid foundation. And I think now they're where they hoped they would be. And, you know, part of it too, he's been aided by some real, terrific additions as far as facilities at Northwestern, including the Ryan Fieldhouse and the Walter Athletic Center, which, you know, some people talk about Ryan Fieldhouse, they call it the Fitz Mahal, the Fitz Carlton. You know, it's kind of hard to argue. I mean, the place is a show place right on the shores of Lake Michigan, and I think when they bring recruits in there, they're wowed by it.
Well, and you don't get those facilities unless you have a program that you're committed to, and you don't commit to a program unless you have a leader like Pat Fitzgerald. So it kind of just, it continues to snowball. And getting to this year's team, we saw, was it 3 years ago, they're playing Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. 2 years ago, it was not what any of us would expect from a Pat Fitzgerald team. And then last year, again, they're playing Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. What are your expectations of this year's team?
Well, I think if you look back at that 2019 season, which was the 3-9 mm-hmm. campaign, and you know, I think you and I have had this conversation before. I mean, there was a time when I think people looked at that, and that was more kind of the norm, as opposed to the Big Ten championship game appearance that. And people looked at that as kind of a fluke. But I don't think it's that way anymore. I mean, I really do think 2019 was a fluky season. And I think a lot of it had to do with quarterback play. You know, John, I mean, they had Clayton Thorson start 53 games in a row, mm-hmm. a Big Ten record at quarterback for them. And, you know, suddenly they had a transfer from Clemson, a former five-star kid, and Hunter Johnson. But he struggled, and the veteran, the experienced guy behind him, got hurt in the very first game and was out for the year. And so I think they really struggled at the quarterback position. I think if they had gotten consistent play at quarterback in 2019, they would have been a much different. I'm not saying they would have been in the Big Ten championship game, but I don't think they would have fallen off the map the way they did that year. And I think that their quarterback situation is much healthier going into 2021 than it was in 2019. Now, you hope the health holds, right? I mean, that's always an issue for every team. But I think they're in better shape from that standpoint. And I think this is a good team. I don't think it's a team that is going to drop off all that much from what they accomplished last year. Will they get back to the Big Ten championship game? The Big Ten West looks tougher this year. But I think that come November, they're going to be in the thick of it.
Well, and to reiterate your point, that 95 season, at that time, it felt like that was the outlier. And now you look at that 2019 season, and that 3-9 season is the outlier because, you know, it's just the program that has been built by the coaches, and obviously, you know, Pat Fitzgerald is the one that is continuing this going. It's a program to be reckoned with year in, year out. And you mentioned the quarterback position. We'll start on offense. The game of football now is so focused on and it's so driven by the quarterback. You have a transfer in Ryan Helinski. But you have Hunter Johnson, Andrew Marty, who are both seniors. You've got some young players. Whose job is this coming out of spring?
Well, it's right now it's up for grabs. And, you know, everybody's kind of trying to figure out who it's going to be. And that's not unlike it was going into to 2019. Everybody sort of assumed it was going to be Hunter Johnson, but Pat Fitzgerald was the last person to say that. And I it wouldn't surprise me if when they get ready to tee it up on a Friday night against Michigan State in Evanston, Labor Day weekend, if it comes down to shortly before the game, Fitz announcing whether it's going to be Hunter or Helinski. Now, I think he might make an announcement ahead of time, because I think it's an advantage to the team, right, to know who that guy is going to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it would surprise anybody if it's either Hunter Johnson or Ryan Helinski. And I think that it's not out of the question that Andrew Marty will be in the mix somehow, because he's, among other things, he's a very mobile quarterback and moves really well. Hunter Johnson can move really well. Didn't throw the ball as well as I think people hoped he would, and when he got a shot in 2019, but he had a great spring from all accounts. Ryan Helinski, transfer from South Carolina, he's got some starting experience there and has a good arm. And you know, I think people are familiar with the tragedy involving his brother. And I think that, you know, for Ryan Helinski, he's got a lot of inspiration that he gets from the tragic loss of his brother at a young age. And, you know, so I think there's a lot going on there. I think that Hunter Johnson and Ryan Helinski are both going to have the opportunity in summer to win the job. And I don't think Fitz is going to commit to either one publicly very soon.
Well, three quarters of the at least receiving yards are no longer on the roster. So you're going to have some new wideouts. And I know that getting the run game involved, getting it going, and the physical side of it has always been a part of what Pat Fitzgerald is trying to get done. But what do you think the identity of this offense will be, and what do you want it to be?
Well, I think that Fitz would always like it to be the ability to pound the ball, and but to be multidimensional and to be multiple. And I think that, you know, a guy who emerged last year was Cam Porter, a running back. And I think if you ask Ohio State, you know, they got a pretty heavy dose of Cam Porter in the Big Ten championship game, and I think they'll vouch for him. That was as a freshman last year. They have a couple other running backs who I think are going to be in the mix. Claire transferred from Bowling Green, grad transfer. You know, they haven't really, I mentioned the transfer quarterbacks, but they have not been a team that's played the transfer game a lot. But they got a bunch of grad transfers this year. One of them is Claire. They also have Evan Hall, who saw a pretty good amount of playing time last year out of the backfield, can catch the ball as well. Kind of a change of pace guy. And then they have a true freshman who enrolled in the spring in Anthony Tyus, who I think Michigan fans might be somewhat aware of, but he's a guy who I think got a lot of benefit from being in the in spring ball. He's out of Portage, Michigan. So, you know, I think they're pretty deep as far as running back this year. You mentioned the wide receivers. They also got a grad transfer wide receiver, Stephon Robinson, comes in from Kansas, and he went to Kansas from a junior college. And so he's coming in to help kind of ease it, because they did. You're right. A couple of guys, Kyrick McGowan, transferred to Georgia to be closer to home. Ramaj Alkeel Bowman, who was really, I think, a terrific player and kind of surprised some people last year at wide receiver, not within the program, but maybe externally. He decided to go ahead and prepare for the draft and hook on in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, they've got some shoes to fill in the receiving corps, but I think they feel like they got the bodies to do it.
And your offensive line coach, Kurt Anderson, is a former teammate of mine, a Wolverine. And
low-key guy, right, John? Right. Really low-key, laid back.
Yes, and so we are going to take full credit for your offensive line, but that has been a tremendous strength for the Northwestern offense for a number of years, and we've seen it in this year's draft. And I know that three of the five starters are returning. What is the strength of this offensive line? And are there a few names that you could share with us of guys that are going to be playing on Sunday here soon?
Well, I think one, first and foremost, would be Peter Skoronski, their left tackle. You know, it's interesting because Rashawn Slater, who was the left tackle in 2019, opted out last season to prepare for the NFL draft and ended up being taken in the first round. He was the second offensive lineman taken, I believe, and taken by the LA Chargers. And Peter Skoronski stepped in as a true freshman last season, earned some freshman All-America honors, and I think was regarded by a lot of people as coming into this season maybe the best offensive lineman, maybe the best tackle in the Big Ten, or certainly one of them, and just a sophomore. So I think any discussion about the offensive line is going to start with him, because he was just terrific last year. Very impressive young guy. And then, Sam Jurek, the center. Ethan Wiedeker played last year at the guard position, but they'll move him now back to his more natural position at right tackle. And, I think they feel pretty good about the guys who are going to be playing there. Another guy at left guard, another Michigan guy, Josh Preby, who's out of Niles, Michigan, will start at the left guard spot this year. So I think Kurt's done a great job with them and with this offensive line. I think it's a strength for them. Maybe in 2019, they were sort of struggling a little bit at times. But I think that they've certainly kind of regained their juice now going into 2021.
They certainly have. And, as we start talking about the defense, you mentioned it earlier as we're talking to Dave Ennett, who calls the Northwestern Wildcat games. You can't talk about this defense without talking about Mike Hankowitz. And I know that he's retiring. And you're going to see a new defensive coordinator in Jim O'Neill. But let's just talk about Hank for just a minute. What is consistency has been such a big part of Pat Fitzgerald and his coaching staff and his players. I always thought one of the reasons that they've been so consistent is because the coaching staff has been consistent. And when players know what the coaches want and they get that relationship, they develop that relationship with the coaches, that really breeds success. It breeds that consistency. Now that Hank isn't there and you've got a new voice in O'Neill as the defensive coordinator, what changes or I guess what are your expectations in this transition year?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, last year we saw a transition at offensive coordinator and with Mike Bajakian coming in. And, there were some changes, no question about it, but it wasn't, I guess, a total change from what they had done, because a lot of the personnel remained the same and the head coach remained the same. And I think on defense in particular, Pat Fitzgerald is always going to have a lot of input into what they do defensively. And I think you'll probably see some similarities to what they did under Mike Hankowitz. That said, Jim O'Neill is a guy with a really good resume, comes to Northwestern after several years coaching in the NFL. And I think that, that's something that I think has his players fired up too. The fact that a guy's coming in who's coached on Sundays and he's got a lot of guys back on defense. And so I think you probably want to find things that work and stay with them, things that worked in the past. And I think that's probably, Jim will probably tweak some things, but I think we're going to see a lot of similarities to what we saw from Northwestern defensively in past years.
And certain schools develop, certain, characteristics and reputations. Obviously, Pat Fitzgerald was a linebacker there, and we've seen a number of really good linebackers come through Northwestern. Most recently, it seems like it's kind of turning into DBU, and Brandon Joseph is that next. It seems to be that next player. What can you tell us about the back end of this Northwestern defense?
Well, they lost Greg Newsom, he was their other first rounder. It was the first time Northwestern ever had two players taken in the first round. And Newsom was terrific, and he'll do a great job with the Cleveland Browns. But he also missed some time early in the season last year, probably their most lopsided win, their opener against Maryland. And then he didn't play in the bowl game, in which they handled Auburn pretty well. So that gave some other guys some opportunities as far as corner goes. And then, you know, Brandon Joseph is back there at safety, and it's hard to find a guy who had a better freshman year than Brandon Joseph did last year. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year and earned some freshman All-American consideration and preseason All-American consideration this year, I think well-deserved. And, you know, I think everybody probably remembers the one-handed interception he made against Justin Fields at the Big Ten Championship game in the end zone. And, I mean, he had a whole season like that. So I think they're really strong back there. John, I think it's an area of strength. Probably the likely corners. A.J. Hampton will probably step in and start a corner this year. And he's played quite a bit the last couple of years. And with Newsom out, played a lot, certainly in the bowl game. The other safety spot, still kind of TBA there. Koko Azuma, who's played a lot as both a kick returner and actually played some running back 2 years ago, could very well be starting at the other safety opposite Joseph. And, you know, they've built some depth there. And I think that's been one of the goals and one of the achievements. There was a time where Northwestern was really strong in the front seven, but, you know, had some holes in the secondary. But I think they've more than compensated for that now.
And who is going to be the next linebacker that we're talking about?
well, that's the big question now, because they lose both Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher. And, of course, Fisher was really the heart and soul of this defense for the past 4 years. But, you know, I think that they feel like that's the position. And you mentioned maybe they've become DBU, but, you know, they've turned out some linebackers.
Yes,
and
they are.
That's something that you knew that was only going to be a matter of time with their head coach that they were going to do that. And Patty was the latest. Anthony Walker is already off to a nice start in his NFL career after playing the middle linebacker spot for them. I think that they have a couple of guys who are going to compete for middle linebacker. Colin Jones, who's a junior, could be the guy who steps in replacing Patty. Bryce Gallagher, Blake's younger brother, also there. He's in the mix and could be in that situation. Peter McIntyre, guy who's played a lot the last few years, could be the Will linebacker replacing Gallagher. And then Chris Bergen's back at the Sam linebacker spot. He's one of the guys who decided to take advantage of the additional year. He was part of that. They called themselves the Irish Law Firm. And Chris Bergen is going to come back and play another year. And, you know, I think that's really important, because not only is he a good player, but I think he's a really heady guy. And I think having some experience there in the linebacking core, a guy who's been through it alongside Patty and alongside Blake Gallagher, I think that should really help some of those younger guys.
And not everybody that opted out to prepare for the draft. Sam Dutmiller is going to be back playing for the Wildcats this fall. He's probably the headliner up front, but I'm wondering if there's anybody else that you've got your eye on in that front four that can do some damage.
Well, Sam Dutmiller, you know, he played, really came on, burst onto the scene as a freshman. He opted out last year. Now he's back. He'll man one end for them. I think the guy maybe to keep an eye on is Adetamoa Adebare, who's going into his junior year, played quite a bit 2 years ago as a true freshman. He's a guy with some speed on the edge, and, you know, that's an area where I think that he can really help them. They've lost the last couple of years. Joe Gaziano being one of them, their all-time sack leader. But I think that Adebare is a guy they're very high on. Some other guys, they have a grad transfer coming in at defensive end, Jeffrey Pooler, who's transferred in from West Virginia. So again, another transfer. He figures to be in the mix there, and that's been another area of strength for them the last few years, John. And you know, I think that they're in pretty good shape. Joe Spivak, a former walk-on, moved into a starting spot at a defensive tackle spot last year, and I think that he's going to continue to be in the mix there in the middle of that defense. So I think that they feel pretty good about the entire defensive unit, but I think that their front line should be good again.
Well, Dave, I appreciate your time and giving us a breakdown of the Northwestern Wildcats. Dave Ennett is the play-by-play voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. And before I let you go, we've seen so many different iterations of the schedule from, you know, 11 games, now it's 12 games, and, you know, it's typically you start with three non-conference, but you guys start with a Big Ten game, September 4, Michigan State. What's it like, or what are your thoughts on starting with a conference opponent?
Well, I liked it for this reason. Under Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern has done really, really well in openers. I mean, I think Fitz has only lost one or two openers, maybe two openers in his career. Now, he's had some Big Ten openers. Last year, Maryland, in a night game at home. And I think it was 42-3 was the final. And in the 2018, the season they went to the Big Ten championship game, the first time, they opened with a road game at Purdue on a Thursday night. So, and they won that game. So I think they're accustomed now to starting with a conference game. I think they do it again next year, as a matter of fact. They're going to open with a Friday night game against Michigan State. And as you may remember, John, I think they're looking at this with maybe a little payback in mind, because it was the Spartans who handed them their only regular season loss last year in a game in East Lansing late in the season. And if not for that, you know, they could have really enhanced their position as far as the playoff rankings going into the Big Ten championship game. And of course, they weren't able to win that game. But I think this is a big game for them. They'll follow that up with three straight non-conference games before a night game at Nebraska. So I think this is a good way for them to open the season, because he will have their full attention.
Well, as a tribute to your head coach, and I believe all Wolverine fans, when you guys open up against Michigan State, will be saying the same thing. Go Cats.
Very nice.
Yes. Dave, I really appreciate your time, and look forward to seeing you October 23 in Ann Arbor.
It'd be good to be back in the big house. It's been a while.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John. Yep. Thank you.
All right, I want to say thanks to Dave for stopping by. He's been doing it for a long time, and it's great to get his perspective on what the Wildcats have been and what they are now. If you missed anything, make sure you go back on MGO Blue Podcast. You can find everything in the schedule up to this point, as well as Defend the Block. This week it was soon-to-be guard, sophomore guard, Zeb Jackson, and new Michigan men's basketball athletic trainer Chris Williams, along with Brian Bush. Make sure you stay tuned in to MGO Blue Podcast. And don't forget that Michigan Athletics mobile app will be coming soon. For all your Michigan football information, stay tuned right here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.